Hello and welcome to this episode of the Yellow and Blues podcast. We're back after a week's hiatus. A lot of cricket has happened in that week. You know, the Commonwealth Games have ended. India have finished the tour of West Indies. So we'll have a look at all of those things. As usual, joining me for this episode is my co-host Venkat. Hello, Venkat. How are you?
Hi, Srini. I'm doing very well. Thanks.
It's been an up and down week for the women in the Commonwealth Games. They end up with a silver medal. I don't know if you had a chance to watch the game, any of the games at all in the Commonwealth.
Yeah, I did, Srini. I followed the India versus England because there was some divided rugby back at home. So it was interesting. I think the way India fielded that game was a game changer. And of course, Smriti Mandhana was batting in a different zone. With Australia, we always knew it was going to be an uphill task. But I was secretly hoping that they would sneak through, especially in T20.
Yeah, I think that being said, I mean, I know India. I mean, the last time India played, England has not been a good hunting ground in the finals. The last time India played in England in the finals was during the World Cup. And they lost. That was at Lords a few years ago, and then now with Edgbaston. Just picking. I mean, we can go back and look at the kind of overall games, you know, against Pakistan, Barbados, etc.
Yeah.
Also, like, you know, the what you would call the semi-final, or you know, the previous round, you know, to decide on who goes to the gold and silver or the bronze one against England. But this particular, just coming back to this particular game, you know, the finals, the gold versus or gold slash silver medal competition, I think there's obviously been some controversy in the last day or so about Thalia McGrath playing.
Yeah. It was very interesting. I noticed, because there was, you know, I just happened to look at the highlights, and I was like, really weird. And then started reading about it. They didn't do a fist bump or handshake around the end because of COVID. But it begs a larger question. And I think we had discussions even in our chat group. Is this the way forward? Is it going to be, because cricket by design is a socially distanced game for most part of it. I don't know if this is going to be the future. But I think what begs the question is, I think there was somebody, some Twitter conversations that I was part of, which said some of the other sports, for example, the badminton, and even when the tests weren't accurate, or the she had to, I'm talking about PV Sindhu from India, had to isolate for 10 days or something. I don't know how true it is. I don't know. I have, you know, read up more on this, but I think if we had the same yardstick across the sporting events, that would be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, back to the point you just made about cricket, I think about this at a recreational level, where we play the sport, it is very, very unlikely, like, you know, that we're going to see people actually saying, so-and-so's got COVID, so he's not playing. I mean, it's just become part of it now, so... Because it's a high-profile sport, I understand, like, you know, therefore, there's a bit being made, especially it's after the game. Surely, India knew that Thalia McGrath had COVID before, because it was known before the toss, and I don't think India had any say. And I don't think, like, you know, Team India as such is making any comments or anything about this, the controversy. It's more a fan-led controversy around the fact, you know, again, if India had won, nobody would have even mentioned this.
Yeah. I would still think this would have become a discussion point, even if India won. And the reason is, you know, in my view, I think, win and this is different. I mean, I'm not saying, or I don't see a lot of conversations happening that because she played that they had the advantage. I don't think so. She didn't do much in that game, unfortunately. And it's not up to the individual, it's a team. decision. It's a Commonwealth organizer's decision as well. Yeah, exactly. My thing was when RT-PCR showed some deviation, PV Sindhu was forcing the authorities to send them to quarantine, and then now we are having this issue.
Yeah, I think it is one of those things where there is going to be no different countries are going to treat this differently. Like, I was reading somewhere else to say, had this been happening in Australia, for example, then the rules are different. And, Talia McGraw would have actually had to, isolate for 10 days as soon as she tests positive, whereas that's no longer the case in the UK. So, it's just a weird thing. Back to the match, and obviously India lost an opportunity to win the gold medal, and it is silver medal. And for me, I know, just looking on paper, it looked like Australia are this unbeatable force and they continue to win. To a large extent, similar to that World Cup, this match India had in their control, bowling wise, 161 for 8. But batting, there was a point in time, I think, until Harmanpreet Kaur got out. At that point, was still there was still about 4 overs to go, and India needed what 37 runs, I think. And it was that period between when Jemima Rodriguez got run out at 118 to about 5-6 balls, especially those two balls that Ashley Gardner ball. I mean, that is a bit criminal in the sense of, if you look at it that way, I know she ended up with figures of 3 for 16, but there was a point, I think, after 2 overs, she had figures of something like 3 for 5 or 3 for 6. So to let a spinner bowl 2 overs and just go for 2 or 3 runs in the final, that's sort of where, India still need to make a difference, to go that a little bit more. But yeah, it was a good chase, and I thought as long as Harmanpreet Kaur was in there, India had a very good chance to win.
And it was.
And even her wicket, I think, was a bit, she was unlucky, in the sense of, it actually, she played, a scoop, and then it hit her helmet and then lobbed off. If that scoop had just come through, or, if the ball had gone anywhere else, it would have been slightly different. The other aspect of it is also, Yastika Bhatia, who's played the entire sort of Commonwealth, sorry, Yastika Bhatia, who hasn't played the entire, came in and made her debut as a concussion substitute for Tania Bhatia, the wicketkeeper. Tania Bhatia got injured when Australia were batting. I think one of the ball hit her on, it pitched and actually bounced and I think hit her on the side, on the head. And so she had to go away as a concussion substitute. And somebody like Yastika Bhatia wouldn't have even been expecting, because the match had started, she hadn't played much of a role in the Commonwealth games. And to suddenly get into that mind space in the final when you're chasing a target, that's quite difficult as well.
Yeah, it is. I think what I expected, to be honest, this game would show a lot more golf between the because Australia, as I said, a gun team. They have pretty much, the opening sorted, Brett Mooney, McLanning, Ashley Gardner, everybody who's these are famous names, right? With India, I think if Smriti Mandana scored another 10 or 15 runs or continued her form from the England game, that would have been a different story altogether. But yeah, I do understand that we did have the match awareness is some of the things that I see as an issue, both in England game and India versus Australia game. Some of the shots have been ill-timed. There is not much of return that you would get out of it. And I do think nowadays in cricket, and especially in women cricket, people are forced to play those scoops and this. And I think I saw at least 2 or 3 people get out like that. Even Smriti Mandana in the game against England, she was fine till then, and she chose to scoop immediately after her wicket. I think that makes it even more difficult for us.
Yeah. Anyway, so India, I think after this, there's a big break for them for almost a month for the Indian women until they come back to England again to play three ODIs. In the cold. True. that is going to be a difficult one, you know, to play that three T20Is.
Yeah.
Early September. That's going to be a difficult one. I'm happy for, like, you know, sort of Jemima Rodrigues. I think so. In this Commonwealth, she's coming to form. She's played really well. Hopefully, like, you know, she carries that on. And I mean, Smriti Mandhana, Harmanpreet Kaur, the final and the semi-finals, and they all are. It's time, though, like, you know, India needs some new players to, like, you know, step up.
Yeah.
It's been a while, like, you know, we're used to dependent on, like, you know, Mitali, and then people like Harmanpreet, etc., Smriti Mandhana came in. Now it's like, you know, they are the ones for the long, there needs to be new blood coming in. So, some, before the sort of, obviously, like, you know, the 100 has already started in England, you know, the men's, and then the women's 100 will start. So some of the Indian players, I think Jemima Rodrigues, etc., will play in the women's 100. So they will be around here for a while. And hopefully get used to the cold and, you know, the conditions to be ready for September. It's some of the other players. That will be interesting for them to turn up. So from sort of that T20, you know, from the Commonwealth, let's move on towards the India West Indies series that's completed, and, you know, as we build up towards World Cup in October in Australia. I think it's looking at the scorecard of 4-1 and looking at some of the scores, you know, the way India won, with the margins that India won. It would, you know, you just look at it looks like, you know, it's comfortable victories. But I don't know where you are at, like, you know, there's some players in from this particular squad that I can see will go to the World Cup. Obviously they missed out on a few players, like, you know, Kohli wasn't there, Bumrah wasn't there, people like Hardik Pandya, etc., returned, Rahul wasn't here. I don't know, like, you know, just before we kind of look at the series, you know, Rahul's really, really been having a poor time. I don't know, it's just bad luck or with COVID, with injury, etc. At this rate, you know, I'm not sure whether he's actually going to go to Australia, because he needs to really get some batting and some runs under his belt before he goes to Australia.
Definitely. I think he would have absolutely loved to play in the Caribbean. You know, it is definitely match practice, and some of these people who have played that can you can see that they are growing with every game, and some of them have, you know, could have used this as an experience. Dinesh Kartik was, for example, was hit and miss in some of these games, but at least the time in the middle is always really, really helpful. Let's see what happens to KL Rahul, isn't it?
That is, because if you looked at the, as I said, like, you know, you just simply look at the fixtures, the three games, like, you know, that they played in West Indies.
Yeah.
It was fairly, like, comfortable win, other than
one
the second
one. Lost.
Yeah. The second one that, you know, was that the one where they'd lost all the kit came in late, etc., and it started like about 4 hours later.
Yeah.
That was the one, isn't it?
Yeah.
These 2 days are coming so thick and fast. You know, you suddenly seem to be like forgetting when which game was when. You know, they're coming in so thick and fast. That was the game where, obviously, the kit. It was really, really bizarre. Like, you know, the reason for a T20 actually getting postponed is the people are there, but the kit hasn't arrived. And I think there were at least three players, Ashdeep Singh, Avesh Khan and Surya Kumar Yadav, all wearing Ashdeep's kit, all wearing his same t-shirt, you know, that game. And then it was all bizarre, like, you know, sort of starting.
Yeah, I think it is also to do with the, you know, the transport from different islands, and it's a tourist season as well. So you do expect, you know, it to be quite busy. But yeah, I mean, I understand. I was reading, I think, the commentary in ESPN. I wasn't watching the game, and it said, go ahead, walk your dog and stuff like that. It was like, what? I couldn't believe that it's all actually happening. But then, yeah, you will remember this as one of those things that has delayed the game.
Yeah. One thing for me that I think it was the very first game, you know, there was a lot of talk, both in the sort of series against England, where you had like left arm bowlers bowling, and sort of there was all this coming out news that, you know, India have difficulty against left arm bowlers, etc.
Yeah.
And I remember that question actually being put to Rohit Sharma as well. When I think it probably might have been the second game actually. McCoy. I think McCoy got six wickets, isn't it?
Yes,
McCoy
right.
Got six wickets, and there was like all this talk about probably after that game, it was saying like, you know, everybody's identified left arm, but then when you look at the rest of the series after that,
it was all right.
Obed McCoy has actually had like, you know, no impact in the remaining three games. He was just like basically taken apart. He finished with, but after that, I think he got a couple of wickets in the first game in Fort Lauderdale in the US one, and then the other two games, like, he didn't get any wickets at all. Like, you know, even the one in Florida, the first game, he went for what was it, 4 over 60 odd runs. Suddenly, like, you know, it's interesting how, like, you know, commentators in media and stuff start to pick and think, like, you know, right, this is the format. Left-armers, India are going to struggle against left-armers. I like the way Rohit Sharma answered and said, like, if you go back to look at history of India, I'm sure, like, we've played against a lot of left-armers and a lot of right-armers, and we will see, like, you know, the number of, it's just probability, like, you know, there are, that they'll have, like, you know, more wickets against one particular type of bowler, or somebody will do, rather than saying all Indian players have a weakness against left-armers.
Yeah, if not anything, I think T20 is a really difficult format still because of the relatively low sample size to at best, you know, you will have 24 legal deliveries a bowler can bowl, and everybody, depending on the context of the game, they're not going to survive. They're going to be always on the attacking mode. So I don't think there will be any technical data that will be derived out of one game. Not one. You should look at it from a longer period of time. Like, whereas against a 5-test series, you can clearly say, okay, I mean, everybody is struggling against Jimmy Anderson, for example. That makes sense because there's a lot more sample size and many deliveries to face.
Yeah, I know. There is a lot made up on, you know, about this thing called this matchups that's now going around where, like, they try and bowl. Alex spinner doesn't bowl to, like, you know, a left-hand batsman or an off spinner. They don't bowl against a right armer with the ball coming in, etc. They do all of this huge amount. But the reality, I know, you know, that there's a lot of analysis and everything goes on, but again, you're right. You know, I'm kind of with you in that, in terms of that thinking. Is there really, you know, a lot of technical analysis that's required? Because if you think about, you know, as you say, like, you know, there's so much that goes into the in a different way. Like, you know, T20, you can look at this, like, for example, ground dimensions, etc.
Yeah.
So there is things like those also that come into factor, because realistically, every batsman, every ball is an event, as they call it, and every batsman is looking at attacking, like, you know. So which means, unlike a test match where you can just keep bowling in the channel and keep just bowling there, you know, irrespective of the ground sizes, etc., and the way you put fielders, etc. So yeah, you're right. It's a difficult one in T20 to say, like, you know, this all 11 players are all, you know, the majority of the batsmen have a weakness against the left. Maybe one batsman will have like a short pitch, etc. But it's a bit like saying, oh, all bats Indian batsmen suddenly have an out weakness against short pitch bowling.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. I mean, I think it is also the intent of the batsman. As you rightly said, the more shots you play, the more chances you have to get out, and you don't have time to build anything. So it's very harsh, the format is, and anybody can beat anybody. That's why that disparity. So, like if I were to say a draw between, let's say, England versus, let's say, Sri Lanka now in as a 5-test series in England, you can comfortably say England would win, because it may not be the same in a three match, would I mean, not ODI but T20.
Yeah, I think overall, though, looking at this series as such, for me personally, I think two Ashdeep Singh is probably been a good pick. Again, you know, going back to the same thing about he offers something different from the rest of the bowlers in the sense of a left arm purely from an angle perspective, you know, a different approach. Chahal, yeah, we know all about him, so there's nothing new in terms of their Hardik Pandya. Surya Kumar Yadav, again, he's been, I can't say, like, you know, he's been a find, because we really knew what Surya Kumar Yadav could bring in terms of the IPL. Avesh Khan, probably, I'm still on the fence in terms of, like, you know, Avesh Khan as a certainty for the World Cup. I'd say he blew hot and cold. You know, he was good in some games, not so good in the other games.
Yeah, I think Avishkan has been a mixed bag, and also even if you go back to his IPL record, it has not been a name that you remember out of this tournament, right? I mean, you have been consistently good to, you know, come up on the bats. So I don't think he's there, but definitely India will have him as an backup because of the bouncier conditions that are a hallmark of Australian ground. So
Yeah, I think as it stands, if I were to say my first choice three bowlers would probably be Bumrah, Bhuvneshwar Kumar and Arshdeep. Clearly, like, you know, we'll touch the Zimbabwe, the series India's two to Zimbabwe in a minute, you know, where Deepak Chahar is making a comeback. But depending on, you know, because obviously he's been injured for a long time, and it takes a bowler to get some miles under their leg, you know, before they can be fit enough to go for the World Cup. Although to be fair to Deepak Chahar, there is like, well, I was going to say, like, potentially he's got about sat 5, 8, 11, well, at least 9 potential games, you know, if he gets picked up for the three ODIs in Zimbabwe. And then sort of there are India played three against Australia at home and three against South Africa. I don't think he's been picked for the Asia Cup, he's just in the standby. So depending on his performance in the ODI, he could get some more opportunities at home against Australia and South Africa. But yeah, Surya Kumar Yadav actually made the most of, you know, the opportunity to open. The one disappointment for me still was Sanju Samson.
Sanju Samson. I was thinking about that. He himself knew when he got out, and could see in the celebrations he was a bit muted. He knew that, oh, this is one chance, and I've kind of thrown it away. And I hope you know, the management kind of starts to look beyond those one-off failures, because it's very, very harsh in this format. You can't just make an impact on one or two games that you play.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but again, given all the opportunities, etc., I just feel like Sanju Samson seems to be one of those players. I don't know whether it's the pressure of wearing an India kit versus, like, you know, when he's batting in domestic in the IPL, etc. He seems to be like he's been like both got the captaincy burden as well in the
Yeah.
IPL, and yet he seems to like flourish very well in the IPL. There are, I mean, there are some people, you know, Wasim Jaffer would probably be a good example in the past where like, you know, he used to score mountain of
Yeah.
runs in domestic, but then come to India and he used to struggle.
I think it is this uncertainty, playing for a place, all that matters. I think in IPL, if you see, he's captain of the Pakistan
Yeah.
selection. He's not going to say he's bit more free, whereas in the games against other opponents, for in India kit, as you say, he's always playing for a place. And
yeah,
that's a very difficult setup.
Yeah, he knows, like, you know, any mistake and, you know, he's going to be not going to get
Yeah.
another opportunity. So he's always playing under that
Yeah.
thing. So it's, yeah, it's a bit difficult. So 4-1 India finished. As I said, like looking at it from just outside, you know, without kind of going into the specifics of it, it was a comfortable win for India. Other than that one game, the, you know, really India like actually cantered
Yeah.
most of the other games.
They were comfortable. I don't think there was any drama, which you usually expect in T20 series. I think it speaks to the, I don't want to be too boastful, but it speaks to the quality and depth of the Indian setup versus the struggles of West Indian cricket recently. But you can't dismiss West Indies again in a big game in the past, but now they don't have that quite that firepower that they have possessed in the past, like Gale and Russell and all those Tollards. And I don't think they have that now. It's going to be uphill for them, given how they played in this game, in this series, at home conditions, to do anything in Australia.
Yeah, so that will probably be a difficult one. So moving on then, you know, the sort of caravan rolls on to, like, you know, although, again, as I said, like, you know, I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, some of the players might be quite confused in terms of, like, you know, hopefully there is no confused messages and such. Somebody like Ishan Kishan, he was just playing again under Rohit Sharma's captaincy, and now he's like flying over to Zimbabwe. And so Deepak Hooda, Akshar Patel, Sanju Samson, etc., where they're now going to play under Shikhar Dhawan's captaincy. So it's about like them trying to, like, you know, have the ODI series in Zimbabwe
yeah.
a predominantly different team from what's played in the T20Is in West Indies, although the ODI squad that played in West Indies is probably the same sort of players.
Yeah, the same. I think you have Shikhar Dhawan, Deepak Chahar, Gaikwad. I think
there's a few. I mean, Prasid Krishna played in West Indies, like, you know,
Siraj
played in West Indies, Shardul Thakur played, so did Sanju Samson, Akshar Patel, Deepak Hooda, etc. So it's all, you know, so it's almost similar to the squad that played in West Indies. Deepak Chahar is an additional addition. Ruturaj Gaikwad, he didn't play at all in that West Indies series, although he was there. Hopefully he gets some chances here in Zimbabwe. That said, like, you know, Zimbabwe have actually been doing quite well, because Bangladesh are currently touring Zimbabwe.
Bangladesh have been humbled, so to say, as reading some reports between, you know, the management and their coaches having got each other because of the results that Zimbabwe have been producing. To put it in Indian context, I think there will be a more closer games in Zimbabwe than what we've seen so far, even in West Indies. But we will have to wait and see again.
Yeah, it's probably, I mean, I know it's difficult to, like, you know, sort of, on one hand you think, well, India should win easily, but then we were just looking at, like, when was the last time India went in. So this series actually should have been played in 2020 and, or I think it must have been 2021, when India went to South Africa, but then because of COVID, etc., it got postponed and it's being played now. So in some ways, it's almost like, helping Zimbabwe, because obviously Indian Two Spring broadcasting money with them. So yeah, that's probably a reason for this tour, completely out of the blue sort of thing. So once I guess India finishes that, then they come back, and then at the start of the Asia Cup in September, we'll obviously closer, sort of the back end of August, we'll post the Zimbabwe tour. We'll look at a closer look at the Asia Cup. The only thing I just wanted to mention was, the team's been announced and Virat Kohli
He's back,
is back. Yeah,
and so
from.
is KL Rahul. I think has been already selected.
Well, he's been selected, but I suspect that's dependent on him being injury free and COVID free and all of those things, because he just doesn't seem to be like having. I was just kind of looking at that schedule for the Asia Cup, and obviously, we've got two guaranteed matches, and then if we win that, we qualify to the Super Four. There's another couple more matches there, and then potentially the final. So potentially, India could play anywhere between two as a minimum and five as maximum. And that's then followed by 60 20 3 against Australia and 3 against South Africa at home before we go to Australia for the World Cup. So there's about, I'd say, anywhere between 8 and 11 games that India have got
Yeah, 8 or 11
from
games.
yeah,
How it goes.
which should basically be like, your, well, I was going to say your final squad, but obviously with Bumrah not playing Asia Cup, but he's obviously going to go to Australia. The majority of the squad, or the first 11, if you like, should play those 8 and 11 games.
Yeah, if you look at the Asia Games squad, Rohit Sharma, Dinesh Karthik, KL Rahul, Pandya, Kohli, Jadeja. These are names that we are historic about. The other one, that's and yeah, this is the game. This is the squad for the World Cup. Barring any injuries, of course, there are backups in name of Shehzad, Akshar Patel, and all that. But they are. This is going to be the squad, I hope. And 11 games is not massive, but good preparation in various conditions. They're not playing anything in Australia, which is a shame. But in India, a
Yeah,
different.
it's interesting that Australia themselves don't seem to be playing at home. They're actually traveling to India to play. So I mean, there's a lot of T20I, sort of happening in the subcontinent, if you look at it, because Australia are coming to India to play T20I, South Africa are coming to India, England are away in Pakistan to go and play T20I, three T20Is, I think, before the World Cup. I think they're touring there after almost 20 years or something like that. And Pakistan are, in fact, they are playing some T20s away in Netherlands in the next couple of weeks. So you look at that, that sort of thing, and then I think, yeah, they're playing something like, if I'm not wrong, seven T20s against England. I can't remember, the last time a team's played seven T20s.
Yeah, I think that's the preparation for.
Yeah, and then they go away, and them and Bangladesh are probably the only team who go to actually, sort of in, well, it's still not Australian conditions, but then they play, I think, a triangular T20 series in New Zealand. So yeah, everybody seems to be like, it is getting in their T20I preparations overall and doing it. That sort of pretty much kind of wraps up where India is at the minute in terms of, obviously the T20I. Then the next thing is the Zimbabwe tour, so we'll keep an eye out on the Zimbabwe tour and then Asia Cup. There's a couple of few other things that's obviously been happening in the world of cricket. We touched about this, I think, a few weeks back, about how six of the IPL teams have brought in the franchises in South Africa, and South Africa are going to have a T20I that's starting. But one other bit, maybe not for this episode, but I just wanted to, just throw it out there, and we can probably have a much more deeper look into next week's podcast. we can potentially do a little bit of segment on that, is this ILT 20, which is a UAE-based franchise, T20 franchise that's going to happen. And that's, I think, scheduled to happen sometime in the back end of January and early February. So, which means it cuts across the BBL and the South Africa.
Yeah.
But the more important thing is they are allowed to have, like, you know, up to 9 international players.
Obviously.
And that is really, really going to throw some spanner in the works. I think the first one, they probably, like, in Australia, Pakistan, it probably will cut across the PSL as well. So I think all the other T20I leagues are suddenly, like, you know, waking up to, like, okay, what does this mean for them?
It is interesting. We'd like to see this in detail, how that's going to impact the other tournaments.
So we will definitely have a look. I mean, I think from what I read, like, you know, sort of first thing, people like, you know, Moin Ali, Hasranga, Shimran Hetmeyer, etc., have all, like, you know, sort of signed off. And obviously, there's, like, I think 3 of the franchises probably from IPL. Probably Mumbai Indians, KKR, and one other team. They've all got, like, franchises in there, and they're bringing in their IPL coaches. So, you know, this goes back to some of the conversations we had, like, you know, a couple of weeks ago, saying, like, you know, how you will have individual leagues or individual teams with players across franchises, with players across various leagues, and the same coaches playing across, you know, for continuity and things like that. So yeah, let's do a little bit more, you know, in terms of, you know, talk about that next week, what impact it could have, etc. So we'll have a look at that. That pretty much, like, you know, is a wrap for us this week on this episode of the podcast. If you do like the sound of this podcast, do subscribe to us on Spotify or any other podcast from which you receive your podcast. Leave your ratings and comments. We are also on Twitter, so do interact with us on Twitter. And until next week.